say I want to do a topic. We're going to do this topic at least two days. Today I didn't prepare all that much. Today I want to just break it open. What? I want to just break open the topic with a basic introduction, and tomorrow hopefully we'll do it in more detail, just to lay out some of the basic yisoides. The topic is, says in the pasuk, this is the perfect week. What? It's on. Okay. All right, is that okay now? Better? Yeah, better. Okay. The topic, Kol Neshama Pasuk. I feel that you can find many excuses to talk about this topic on many weeks. You don't even need an excuse. You can talk about the topic whenever you want. But this week is the perfect week for this topic. You cannot challenge me on this, because the pasuk says Yaakov Avinu goes to sleep and he wakes up after his rest in the morning, after he has to sleep for 14 years. Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso Vayera Chen Yesh Hashem Amokim Azeh. Hashem is in this mokum, v'anochi lo yodati, and I was not aware. Vayira vayoymar, he was afraid, and he said, ma noiro hamokoyim hazeh. How awesome is this mokoyim? I'm afraid, I'm terrified. Ein zekim beis elokim v'zeh shar hashamayim. Topic is, are you allowed today to ascend to the Har Habayis? Are you allowed to walk a timely? We're in the Har Habayis. Okay, so hopefully tomorrow we'll have some photocopies. That's a topic of itself, of we're in the Har Habayis. But this is a major controversy today. This is a very good topic. And Mamash is parasha. Manoiro Hamokoyim Hazeh. The first one to make an observation that this is a hot topic is Yaakov Avinu when he woke up. After he slept there. Manoiro Hamokoyim Hazeh. I'm in a lot of trouble. This place is a controversial location to be found when there is no Beis Hamikdash. There was no Beis Hamikdash then, right? There was no Beis Hamikdash. And he was there. Yaakov Avinu was in the Har Habayis.
It wasn't, that's not where we're
here. No?
They said it wasn't. So what the Lekutei Nisan says is that when you don't have a ladder that goes straight up. In other words, from where the angels would ascend to heaven,
yes,
that was a plumb line, that would be the Beis Hamikdash.
Yes.
Where he was is where you would climb the ladder.
The ladder.
To get there.
Okay.
It's
not the same location.
After Mount Neuer,
he didn't go there. Correct. I'm just borrowing this expression from the pasuk. Okay. Manoira Hamokoim Hazeh. Now, I have here in front of me that there's a lot. There's an enormous amount of material that has been written and discussed on this topic. I don't have access to too much of this material. I don't really have the time or the energy or the knowledge to go through all the details. But I have here in front of me two things that I have at home just to get started, to touch upon them. Number one is this wonderful sefer called Higyonei HaParsha that was put out already. He put out already four volumes by Wasserman, Aryeh David Wasserman. He put out already four volumes on Bamidbar. And this was published last year within 12 months, maybe even within 6 months, on Chumash Bamidbar. And here he has a koyach of writing. This individual, he really knows how to lay down something with only the yisoidos in an extremely clear way. And he has a very nice, large, significant article on this topic. And it's very current, because he only wrote this 6 months ago. Okay, he wrote this less than 6 months ago. It's current. He has all of the latest, he has all of the things that we need to know. Another fantastic article is from the Chakira Journal. This is one of the first volumes. Volume 10. I take it back. There have been so many volumes already since Chakira came out. It's volume 10. This is from the year 2010. So it's 5 years old. Okay, so this was written 5 years ago. And obviously there's a lot of material which overlaps. A Talmud from Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim, Gedalia Meir, a Musmach. His name is Rabbi Gedalia Meir, a Musmach of Yeshiva Chofetz Chaim of Queens, has served as rabbi in various communities in the United States and is presently Rav of Kihilat Nachalat Yehuda Maalei Adumim in Israel. Anyone know that shul? Maalei Adumim, Kihilat Nachalat Yehuda. Okay, his brother-in-law and chavrusa by phone is Henoch Messner. Henoch Messner, I found him online, Henoch Messner. He also writes about this. It's a different article. It's not the same article. And he joined him in writing this article. This is a fantastic article. He has incredible chidushim, things that are new that could totally change the our understanding. What he writes over here, it changes the halacha almost of what exactly you are allowed to do when if you do ascend. Those who people do ascend on the Har HaBayis. So traditionally there are certain safe areas. Where they go.
Avgorin
was an advocate to go up on the okay. Well, he talks everything. We'll talk about different points in, as we go along. But some of the one of the bulk a nice chunk of his article is he has this new research, cutting edge research, as to where the walls of the Azari used to actually be. And that really changes the attitude or you're even more limited in where you can walk. Those people who do walk on the Har HaBayis, Temple Mount, they're even more limited now in where they are able to safely tread. Okay, we'll come to that maybe more tomorrow. I have the diagrams. I'll make some photocopies. We'll talk. But let's just go.
The place of Maravi is the wall of Dazza.
This is the shocking thing. He has here. That's the thesis. That's a chunk of his thesis. It's not his. It is a professor who has made a discovery recently. It's all documented in the book.
Who's this professor?
Okay, Belina the tomorrow will do that. I don't focus on that for today. We'll focus on the exact location of where you can walk. Those people do go on the Har HaBayis, it's safe to walk, where it's not safe to walk. Okay, but let's just discuss the basic issues. Basic issue is the Har HaBayis. It's a Mishnah in Masechta. It's bull based on Sukkim, of course, and it's a Mishnah in the beginning of Masechta Kelim. Where is a person allowed to enter in a state of tumah? Now, a state, the term tumah is a very vague term. There are many, many forms of tumah. The most common form of tumah is tumas nes, a person who has come in contact with a dead body. Today, bizman hazeh, we are all, b'li yotzei min haklal, in the category of tumei nes. A person who we have come in contact with the dead, and there is no way for us really to remove ourselves from this tumah unless we have sprinkled upon us the waters of the Parah Aduma. On day 3, we have to go to Mikvah immediately, and then wait 3 days, and then it's sprinkled upon us the Parah Aduma water, then wait until day 7, it's sprinkled again, then we go to Mikvah, we have Harav Shemesh, then we are 100% tar. There is no Parah Aduma. There's no paraduma, so there's really no way for us to lift ourselves out of the state of tumas nes. Okay, another tumah, which is a very serious tumah, is tumas nida. It's the real deal. A nida. A woman who is now going on the Har HaBayis, for a nida, for a woman, is much, much more problematic than it is for a man. It's a whole different league, and that's why you don't see it. Rabbi Meir, do women go to Har HaBayis?
There's a movement for kalos.
To go on the Har HaBayis?
They go to the mikveh anyway.
Anyway, okay.
So, they haven't had any contact with.
But they have to have Shemesh. They have to have. You have the day before. All right. It's, okay. Women, even the people, I'm not listening. I have no negiyas here. I'm not getting involved in any politics. I'm just learning the basic yisoides over here. I'm just presenting just some of what's the facts and some of the things that it says in these two articles. Even we've seen people that go on the Har HaBayis. But you don't really see women go on the Har HaBayis. Have you ever noticed that? It's very rare. It's much more rare because the complications, the halachic complications of going on the Har HaBayis for a woman are much more complicated than they are for men, namely because a woman has a real tumas called tumas nida, and the laws of nida nida is not allowed to enter into the machan, into the Har HaBayis. A tamei meis, meikar hadin, is allowed to enter the Har HaBayis. You're even allowed to bring a corpse. You're allowed to bring a dead body on the Har HaBayis. The only place... What?
That's where
Vayikach Moshe's atzmos Yosef imo. Imo b'mechitzasay. Moshe brought the bones of Yosef on the harabah in his mechitzas, which was harabais. The only place where tameis may not enter is into the azora. The azora is a very small area. It's 187 amos by 135 amos. The big problem is we really don't know with certainty exactly where that small little box is. So we have to play it safe. But then there's the area that's outside the Azor, the Harabais, which is, according to the Mishnah Masechta Midos, 500 Amos by 500 Amos. That area, it says, Beferish in the Mishnah, Tomei Mace is allowed to enter. But a Nida is not allowed to enter into the Harabais. Just to clarify, so therefore, Bismanas, if a person goes up on Temple Mount, even if he makes a mistake and he walks in the area of the Har Habayis, it's no big deal. Now let me clarify. The area, the Temple Mount today, is approximately, even with the most liberal measurements of an Amma, is approximately double the square feet of 500 Ammas by 500 Ammas. Okay, yeah, 500 Ammas by 500. What is the size of an Amma? It varies between 18 feet to 18 inches to 24 inches. 22 feet, 24 inches. So that even if you'll tell me that it's like a Chazonish here, that an Amma is 24 inches, is 2 feet, still the square area, they have all the numbers here, I can't memorize all the numbers, the square area of the space, what today is called the Harabais Temple Mount, is double that. And certainly if you want to take a more conservative understanding of what is the size of an Amma, it's certainly going to be only a very small area. Now we're working with a very great assumption, and this is something which they don't discuss here, and I don't know why, I didn't see this in the articles over here, that these two, which are very comprehensive, they don't discuss, but I remember seeing this in other articles, is they don't discuss an approach that even though it says in the Mishnah in Masechta Midos that the Harabayis is 500 Amas by 500 Amas, there is an approach that over time, when they did expand the Temple Mount, which is no question they did they also give the expansion the sanctity of the Har Habayis? There is an opinion that says that when they expanded for various reasons, the time of Hordes and the other times, Lav Dafka Hordes, even later than Hordes or earlier than Hordes or whenever it was when they expanded, does that just mean there was just more space, but the additional space is chul and is mundane? Or when they expanded it, they brought a carbon toida, and they took the lachne toida as the procedure outlined in Sefer Nechemiah, and they walked around it, and they gave that extra area the kedusha of the Har Habayis. And that would then have a major nafkamina. That would basically mean is that the entire Temple Mount today does indeed have a possibility, every single inch when you ascend that area has the status of the Har Habayis. Most poskim, vast majority, do not work with that assumption. They work with the assumption that during the times of expansion, it was expanded, but it was not sanctified. Therefore, if you can be reasonably sure that you are not stepping on the area of the original 500 Amos by 500 Amos, you're not even going on the Harabayis. So you're safe. Not only are you not entering into the area of the Mikdash, of the actual temple, the actual Azara, where the Korbanos were offered, you're not even walking on the Harabayis. The Harabayis is 500 Amos by 500 Amos. The perimeter of the modern day Temple Mount is not in the area of the 500 Amos by 500 Amos. Now, over time, over the last 50 years, that statement has become much, much more complex. There are numerous new discoveries which have questioned everything that we thought was to be correct, and basically, we really don't know anything. When you walk on the Temple Mount today, pretty much every section may very well be the real 500. We'll do that, the maps, Mitzvah tomorrow. We'll try to get to the maps to show the various opinions with all the new discoveries, archaeological discoveries, which cast everything that we thought to be in doubt. But traditionally, when they took back the Kosel, the Harabais in 67, the Six-Day War, it was assumed as a Dover Poshut, that the 500 by 500 pretty much is in the center. And the Mela, there's no problem walking around the perimeter of the Har Bayis, and that's what they all did. When they took back, the facts are that when they, after the Six-Day War, when Israel had sovereignty of the Har Bayis, there were mobs. There were mobs running there to the Har Bayis along the perimeter, because it's not even the Har Bayis. Until the Gedolim came out with a very strong Kol Kare, not so fast. And then, totally, when they gave it back, when Israel gave back the Har Bayis to the Muslims, they gave it back right away. But there was a short period of time when they were running. That's what it says. So there was a short period of time after the Six-Day War when it was completely under the Israeli control. It was completely under their control, and there were mobs of people ascending the Har Habayis.
Pile of stones.
They were, what?
Pile of stones, Moshe Dayan said.
What?
Who called it a pile of stones?
Pile of stones. Who called it a pile of stones? What do you mean?
Temple Mount.
They called it a pile.
Moshe Dayan called it that.
He called it. That's what he called it. But this is what this. So until recently, it was assumed that the 500 Amos are in the center, and you can walk around the perimeter because you're not even ascending the Har Habayis. And today there are two problems with that. Today, number one. First of all, maybe the Kedusha was expanded, it was sanctified the entire area. So everything on top is the Har Habayis. Number two, we really don't know which 500 by 500 is the original chunk of the Har Habayis. So everywhere where you walk, you very well may be stepping on the Har Habayis. But that's not necessarily a problem. Because even if indeed you are stepping on the Har Habayis, it says, Beferish in the Mishnah, a Tomei Mace is allowed to walk, is to enter the Har Habayis. You are allowed to ascend the Har Habayis. Tomei Mace. The only thing you're not allowed to do, as it says in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to come to the Har Habayis with your wallet, with your walking staff, and with your shoes.
Yes.
So therefore, the people who go today on the Har Habayis, because they are concerned, there may be a possibility. They hold it's a very remote possibility. They don't really take it very seriously. There may be a possibility they are indeed stepping upon the real Kedusha of the Har Habayis. They go without wearing leather shoes, so it should not be called halachically I'm wearing shoes. They wear slippers, so things are not called only leather.
Shoes?
Only leather is called a shoe now. It says the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah, and this comes from the word of Meir Mikdash. Umikdashai Tirau. Umikdashai Tirau. There's a mitzvah Doraisa to fear the Mekoyim Hamikdash, which includes the Har Habayis. And as an application of this halacha, you're not allowed to wear shoes, you're not allowed to have a walking stick, and you're not allowed to go with your wallet. And therefore, those people who do go on the Har Habayis, on the possibility, they're hoping they're not stepping on the Har Habayis. They're stepping along the perimeter, which is nothing. You can be a tourist. But if it's possibly is the Har Habayis, so no shoes, no wallet, and no walking staff.
You have to have a cell phone.
Yeah. Sakana.
No, because what they do is you're not allowed to...
So you talk, we talk. Okay. Another thing the Paiskim say... Another thing is, since it very, very well may be that this is the Makom of the Har Habayis, this is the Paiskim who do go there, again, not getting into any... A lot of the Gedolim that we're familiar with, they hold, you're not allowed to go, but people who go there, the Paiskim is done with Halacha. There's a mitzvah as mikdashi tira'u, which means if you go with the attitude of a tourist to take pictures, you don't belong there. You don't belong there. If you're going there to take a picture, with your cell phone, and you're going there so you can go back to America and tell your friends, you know where I went? I went to the Har Habayis.
Well, that's only if you go to the Har Habayis Mamish.
Well, that's the problem. The problem is the cheshish for this. Even the people who go on the Har Habayis, that's the impression I'm getting from reading these things, is we go there, we are hoping that you're not walking on the Har Habayis. Only 500 by 500. But there is a real possibility, and every day the new discoveries make it more and more complex, that the place where you're standing is the actual Har Habayis. So that's why they take off their shoes, that's why they don't wait a while, they don't have a walking staff, and that's why they're told you're in a holy place and you're only going here to be mispalo.
They know.
You're not allowed to. Yeah. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. We're going to talk about that. So nothing is so clear. That's what he talks about. That's the whole article over here.
The more you make it unclear, the more you make it chomer that you shouldn't go.
Right. Not necessarily. No, that's not true. He does exactly that, and then shockingly he comes out. He's very sure that you should go in the Chakira article. This Roth. So he's saying just the opposite. He makes it very chayim, makes everything super complex to show you basically you're going up there, you have to be chayish for every step is the har bayis. But he says, so a tamei meis can go on the har bayis. Who's holding you back? It's a ferish mishnah. A tamei meis go on the har bayis. So gezunta, you should go. And the attack holds, you should go for others. We'll get to in a few moments why attack, the reason you should go. But if you're going, there's something called the mikdashi tirahu. So that means no shoes, no work. And also you go into the mikvah. We'll see why you go to the mikvah. Why is you go to the mikvah? What difference does it make going to the mikvah? We'll talk about it in a moment. Maybe it's part of mikdashi tirahu, but it has to be for tefillah, for kedusha, not to be a tourist. If you go in there,
tumas keri, even though
tumas keri, exactly. That's why you have to go. So a baal keri is not allowed to go on the har habayis. Exactly.
Even though tefillah says on the
book. So this is the case. Let's discuss some now. Before we get to that, let me just talk about some other problems. First of all, now this is the major issue we're going to talk about now is the Rambam, the Raivi, the Kaft, the Ferach, and the Meiri. These four opinions. According to the Rambam first of all holds that all of the prohibitions that exist in Tam Chazal are in effect today. Even though the Mikdash has been destroyed, Darash is a Pasik in Mikdash, Vishamosi es Mikdashi. Vishamosi, I will destroy. Vashimosi es Mikdashi. I will destroy my Mikdash. Chazal make a drasha. Even in a state where it's in a state of Shemama, Mikdashi, it still maintains its Kedusha. In other words, Kedusha Rishayna or Kedusha Shnir, Kitshal Ashayta, the Kitshal Yasalavo. The Rambam explicitly says that nothing has changed. Just because the Mikdash has been destroyed, the Kedusha remains in full force. All of the laws remain in effect, and that's full Kedusha. The Ravid strongly disagrees. The Ravid wins a Ravid from Mishnah Masechta Maisa Sheni, where a person, Bizman Hazeh, when there is no Beis HaMikdash, he bursts and goes and he separates Maisa Sheni and he redeems, and he has fruit, and he takes money of Maisa and he buys fruit, the fruit has Kedusha, and if there's no Yerushalayim, the fruit has to rot. Why does the fruit have to rot? Just go to Yerushalayim and eat the fruit of Ma'is Hasheni inside the walls of Yerushalayim. So it's clear from this Mishnah that Bisman has, according to the Ravid, there no longer is Kedushas Yerushalayim. There no longer is Kedushas HaMikdash. The Kedusha does not exist. It appears to be, the Ravid is right, there's a Ferish Mishnah, that if you have this Man Hazef fruit of Maiser Sheni, the fruit of Maiser Sheni has to rot, decay. Why does it have to decay? There's a Yerushalayim. Enter into the walls of where Yerushalayim used to be, and you can eat the fruit of Yerushalayim, you can eat the fruit in the walls of Yerushalayim, Maiser Sheni. What's the problem? So it appears in the Mishnah, it's clear, because there's Man Hazef, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, and certainly the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, for the same reason, that's his understanding, is batel, doesn't exist. Once the Mikdash has been destroyed, the Kedushas of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash has been batel. And therefore, you can walk there as much as you like. There's no Kedusha whatsoever. And therefore, certainly, Bizman Hazeh, even if you want to be chayy, you want to treat it with a state of Kedusha, there's a residual Kedusha of what used to be there, but there's no real Kedusha. There's no chiv chorus for a tummy mace entering into the Makam HaMikdash, and there's no prohibition whatsoever to enter in that location. So here is another sniff, another contributing factor of why you should be allowed to enter into that area. First of all, let's review what we have. First of all, the Ravid holds Bizman Hazeh, there's no Kedusha. Number two, the Har HaBayis is only original 500 Amos by 500 Amos, which we assume, according to many things, is in the center. So anyway, you're not walking in that area. And even if you're walking in that area, you're only Tamei Meis, and second, there's no Kedusha. Like we said, there's no Kedusha. So there are many, and these are all Sfekas. These are all one Sfek which builds upon another Sfek, which can contribute to being lenient to going in this area, technically according to Halach. Now, the Kaft of the Ferach, now first of all, the Shail is, do we pass like the Raiv, or do we pass like the Rama? Rav Adi Yosef, and many, many other Paiskim, they say the same thing, that a careful reading of the Raiv says, you read the Raiv carefully, the Ravid never said that the Kedusha is bottle. All the Ravid said is the Chiv Kores is bottle. Kamat says it in the Ravid word for word. The Chiv Kores is bottle. Even the Ravid agrees with the Rambam that Kedusha Shnia Kitchel Shaita Vikitchel Yosulovo is that the Mokim HaMikdash has exactly the same sanctity that it had Bizman Shabbos Hanisha Yekayim, the Mokim HaZorah, the Har HaBayis, Yerushalayim. It's just that the Chiyuvim The punishments are bottle. Shemayim will no longer give kares for a tamei meis who walks on the makom of the azara. But the kedusha is there, and the loisa say the prohibition of a tamei meis has to be sent mechutz lemachne is still full in force. Is in full force. So the prohibition is there, and it's just that the kares is not there. This is what Rav Avadya Yosef and many others say the same thing in the Rav. So therefore, even the Rav would agree that bezman hazeh you have to have the same stringencies as what the Rambam would hold. Furthermore, who says we pass it like the Ravid? Most of the Gedolim say that the halacha is established like the Rambam in this matter, that the Chiyuv Kares is still in effect, afilo bezman hazeh, entering into this location. Now then there's a very big chiddush of the Kafta v'Ferach. The Kafta v'Ferach was the early Achron, I'm not exactly sure.
No, he was one of the
Rishonim.
Florence. Where's Florence again? Italy? No.
Okay. And he interprets a Pigma. I'm a little bit not clear on the details, but there's a pasuk. This is a very important part of the equation. There's a pasuk in Sefer, I think Yeshaya. Also, it could be Sefer, either Sefer Malachim, it could be it's in both, Sefer Malachim and Yeshaya, that Chizkiyahu went out to the Chotzer HaChadosha. The Chotzer HaChadosha. Bring that tomorrow, I'll review this point. The Chotzer HaChadosha. And the Gemara is, why did Chizkiyahu call this area, where exactly did he go, and why did he call this area the Chotzer HaChadosha? So there's a discussion in the Gemara, and there's a discussion that we shine on what it means. But the Kafta v'Ferach says the bottom line is halacha lemaisa, we accept among the various mahalchim of the Sugya, the Chotzer HaChadosha is the Har Habayis. It's the Har Habayis. And the reason why it was called Chadosha was because they made on that day a new enactment. They made an enactment that a Tomei Neis is not allowed to go on the Har Habayis. It's a very big chiddush. It's that everyone agrees that the Rabbanon, Chizkiyahu and his Bezdin in the time of the Nevi'im decided they wanted to enact a layer of stringency as far as people who are not 100% Tameh coming in this vicinity. What exactly was their enactment? This is subject to debate. We show him, we'll bleed out to go this tomorrow. But the similar, but the Kafta of Ferach Paskins Lahalacha, like the opinions, I think it's Rashi, not like all the Tosfos and other Rishonim, that it was called Chadosha, a Takana, that a Tomei Neis may not even come into the Har Habayis. Until the time of Chizkiyahu, a Tomei Neis can come onto the Har Habayis. But Mikanu Lahaba, a Tomei Neis may not come onto the Har Habayis. Now that totally changes everything for us. Because until now, with Samechon, first of all, who derive it? There's no curse. And maybe you'll tell me there's no kedusha. You'll tell me there's no kedusha. And then you'll suggest, but we know where the Har Habayis is. And even if we don't know where the Har Habayis is, so what's so bad? You go on the Har Habayis. Tomei Meis is a lot of going to Har Habayis. We're only men, only Tomei Meis. Well, not according to the Gemara, not according to Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara that a Chotzer HaChadosha is the Har Habayis, and the enactment was Tomei Meis. Then you're not allowed to go on the Har Habayis. So then we got big problems. Then you got to make sure you're only being samech on. What are you being samech on? That the area where you tread on the temple, modern day Temple Mount, is not the Har Habayis. And if you want to, there are mahalchim. You want to follow. You want to assume that the area is only 500 amos in the middle. Okay. So then you have, but it definitely takes away a layer of leniency if you follow the Kafta of Aferach. And not everyone follows the Kafta of Aferach, because the Kafta of Aferach appears to be more machmir than the Rambam. The Rambam appears to allow, he doesn't learn Pshat in the Gemara like that. The symbol, the Chotzer HaChadosha was the Ezras Noshim, was not necessarily the Har Habayis, it was the Ezras Noshim, and the prohibition was not that a Tomei Neis may not enter, but rather a Tvul Yoim, a person who went to mikvah and did not yet have Herif Shemesh, may not enter this area. So there are different opinions as to what that Gemara means, which we'll discuss that again tomorrow. But the point is that not everyone agrees with this very stringent approach to the Gemara. The Kafta of the Ferach, who was a Rishon, is even more machmir than the Rambam, Who says we have to take the approach of the Kaftan Ferach and be somachmir and not allow Bizman Hazeh a Tomei Nes to enter into the area of the Har Habayis? Okay, so that is something. Now the Me'iri seems to say, the Me'iri is a major Rishon, he says you're allowed to go there. The Me'iri is Matir. The Me'iri holds that there's no. We have to review the Miri. He says Zach, but the Miri is one of the lenient Rishonim that is cited as a heter to go Bizman Hazeh on the Har Habayis. Now, what are the other reasons why we're machmer? So this is a very controversial reason, and it's discussed by a lot of the early Kadmonim, and some are very machmer in this, and some completely dismiss this. Some hold that Bizman Hazeh, every single male adult is begeder azov. Just like, we know a woman has sees blood 3 days in a row, so Minat Torah, she becomes a Zava. She requires Karbanos. Bizman Hazeh, all Noshim are Machmer, they treat themselves as if they're a Zava. That's why they need Zayin Nikin. The only one that needs 7 clean days is a Zava. She also needs Karbanos. We cannot bring the Karbanos Bizman Hazeh. But you never heard of a man, if a man has an emission 2 days in a row, it's not an emission of Keri, it's some other type of color which we're not familiar with Bizman Hazeh. So he becomes what is called a Zav. Even one emission makes him into a Zav. And 2 days in a row is a Zav, he requires Karbanos. So there's a Magen Avraham that says, the Magen Avraham says that we Bizman Hazeh have no knowledge of what it means to be a Zav. And the Magen Avraham says something that is shocking, that when a person goes to the Beis HaKisei, forget about Tumas Keri, talking about going to the Beis HaKisei, after a person comes out of the Beis HaKisei, there's a real chashash that he became a Zav.
Wow.
Bizman Hazeh. Now what is the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina means he needs to go to Mikvah, and he needs Harav Shemesh. Which means, I don't have all the names for you now. Belinda will go over tomorrow. So this is if he sees Ziva twice, then he's a Zav. He's not allowed to come in the middle of the a Zav is not allowed to go into Machane Leviah. Everyone agrees, L'choladeus, a Zav is not allowed to go into Machane, into the Har Habayis. Okay, a Zav is not allowed to go on the Har Habayis.
When the Chashmonaim came up to Har Habayis, they did the Torah Adumah before?
The Chashmonaim was on the middle of the Bayis Sheni. They cleaned the Mikdash itself.
The Shaman was Tahar.
Yeah. They can't be with Tama the Karaka. The Karaka is Torah. I can't be with Tama the Karaka. Only the Kalim. Did they need the part of the Chori? Yeah. They went to battle.
100%.
So they had the Bayis Sheni, but it's not relevant today. Okay, so this is another major issue that every single male Bizman Hazeh may be a Zav. And a Zav is not allowed to enter into the area of the Har Habayis. So again, that takes away this layer of leniency. One of the major reasons to be lenient is Bizman Hazeh is because even if you by accident step on a part of the Temple Mount that is truly the Har Habayis, the attitude is, so what? A Tomei Nes is allowed to enter the Har Habayis. So there is Tumas Keri. That's a problem. Tumas Keri. Tumas Keri, you only need to go to Mikvah. But the Poskim, they do make this point. That's a minor point. Bizman Hazeh, men go to Mikvah. We all know that. They go to Mikvah for tshuva purposes. Erev Yom HaKippurim, to do tshuva. And then there are men that are nizer to go to Mikvah for Tzvilas Ezra. There are such people like that. They want to learn and daven b'tahara. So going so far in this carry, go to mikvah. But if there's no such thing Bizman Hazeh as a man going to mikvah for tumas carry for real, how do you know that? Because women, when they go to mikvah, in a good mikvah, they have to go through a very rigorous cleansing process, inspection. They have to clean their nails, and they have to comb their hair. And there are a lot of things that women are required to do to be absolutely certain there's no chatzitza. Men, it's unheard of. Men, why do men don't? Because men doesn't really make a difference. You don't have to go. Bizman Hazeh doesn't ever have to go to mikvah for real, unless it's a ger. A ger is probably the only time a man has to go to mikvah for real. But if you're going on the Har Habayis and you're going into the Har Habayis because of tfilas keri, then it's a tefillah, it's a very serious tefillah. It's a tefillah where you have to be certain there is no chatzitza. So to allow people wholesale to go on to the Har HaBayis and to tell them you have to go to mikvah because of Tilas Keri. Every married man has this Tilas Keri, and you go to mikvah, it's a different type of tefillah. It has to be a tefillah where all the halachas are observed for men equal to the way they're observed for nashim, with chatzitza, combing the hair, and the nails, and so on and so forth. And since we're not equipped for that, and you have not seen so that's why, that's another concern why it should not be, it's not an impediment. You can overcome that. That's not a reason why you can't go at all. But it's something which has to be taken seriously if a man indeed wants to go Bizman HaZeh on the Har HaBayis. So you want to take into consideration the possibility that where you will step, even with all of the safeguards, is indeed has the sanctity of the Har HaBayis, and the man has to go to mikvah for the very least for Tfilas Keri. And Tfilas Keri now requires a real Tfilah Min HaTorah. It has to be observed with all of the stringencies of what women do when they go for Tfilah for a Nida. So that has to be done the proper way, which unfortunately is not so easy, and is not every man has the opportunity to do it in that in the proper way. And if you want to take into consideration the Magen Avraham, which appears many of the modern Haredi world, they take very seriously, this Magen Avraham, is that every man today is becheskas azov. Azov, there's nothing he can do. Because to remove yourself from being azov, you have to bring korbanos. The way to remove yourself from the full status of Zav cannot be undone Bizman HaZeh, so you cannot go on the Har HaBayis. So the only way you can then ascend the Temple Mount Bizman HaZeh is to work with the opinions that will clearly mark out for you where the Har HaBayis is, and you walk in a safe area. Now just to conclude, we're out of time, I don't know, one point, and then tomorrow we'll do some maps. He does over here, and he says, so yeah, you basically, if you want to find the leniency, there's no question there's room to wiggle, to find room to be makel al pi halacha to go on the Har HaBayis. He goes further to say in this article in the Chakir journal, he goes on to say there's a mitzvah Bizman HaZeh. Now this, what he says is something which cannot really be appreciated unless you live in Eretz Yisrael. There's a mitzvah of kibush haaretz. It's a mitzvah deraisa to conquer the land of living in Eretz Yisrael. He holds that everything in halacha is a trade-off. And he says that if you're not going to go to Har HaBayis and show the world that it's ours, it's chaviv, it's not so far-fetched that a politician will just come along one day and say, you know what, anyway you don't go to the Har HaBayis, so give it away to the Arabs. Give away to the Arabs. The nitz of kibush haaretz is a din d'oraisa. It's the Rambam l'chol hadeis. To show a Jewish presence in this location, and you don't appreciate this unless you live in Eretz Yisrael and you live the culture of Eretz Yisrael, so it's not for Americans really to talk about this, people who live in Chutz Yaretz, is if you don't show it's yours, a presence, a chavivus, you're asking for trouble. So there is a requirement, so that also has to be taken into consideration when you look at the lineage, the problems. There are problems, halachic problems, going to Har HaBayis, but there's also a halach of kibush haaretz. And part of kibush haaretz is, this is Eretz, this is our land. Mashiach's not going to come until we show chavivus of the land. That has to be taken into consideration. But you also have to take into consideration is, if you live in a hostile environment where you ascend the Har HaBayis, it will provoke the anger of the Arabs. You know, how do you balance that? By you going to the Har HaBayis, are you putting your fellow Jew in danger? Who's to say? I mean, these are questions there's no answer to. These are very tough questions. How do you balance the danger you're putting other Jews in? And today, we live in a complicated world, we all connect, social networking, you don't even realize. One little picture, you know, it could spread to a million people. You don't realize what you can do. So do you have even the right to put other people in jeopardy for your achiza in the midst of Eretz Yisrael? Maybe yes, maybe not. So it's a very complex. What? Halacha question. It's a halacha question. There's a mitzvah of Yishuv Aretz.
Political.
No, I'm not going into politics. I want to talk about pure halacha.
Let's say you didn't go on the Arabs and take a picture.
Who takes a picture? The Arabs or you?
No, you're taking the picture.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's definitely wrong. That's wrong, yeah.
Let's say it's Mutter. whatever.
That's wrong. Taking a picture is not Mor Mikdash. That's politicians. I want to talk halacha. Let's talk. I'm not talking politics. Let's talk halacha. He's making a valid point. There's a mitzvah of kibush aretz. You want to make Mashiach? You have to show this is our land. You want Mashiach? Let's keep it. So it's a mitzvah. But there's also people say this. People in area. Not talking about Americans. Let's talk about Israelis. Okay, people tell me they're going to Israel. They say, don't do me any toivus. Don't go and do me the kind of mitzvah. I'm an Israeli just like you. I'm a seventh generation.
Because they're going up. They're causing the
rise. I'm a seventh generation Israeli. I've been living here in the land longer than anyone here. I'm living here. And I'm scared. I walk in the shul, I'm afraid someone's going to stab me. Don't do me any toivus of kibush aretz because I'm not talking about an American, I'm talking about an Israeli. Don't do me any toivus by going there because you're going to go there, there's going to be an to take a picture, he's going to post it on Facebook, he's going to incite the wrath of all of these Meshugayim, and who knows, I might be the victim, I might be stabbed.
Right,
so I'm loichel.
What the Torah character are saying and using as an excuse.
So
it's not a halakha, it's an excuse. It's a political thing, it's because...
I don't know if it's an excuse. Is it an excuse? Is it halacha? It borders, it touches halacha. It's halacha, it's a din of sugiv roideif. It's a sugiv...
You're provoking by not going, then by going.
That's debatable. That's halachically debatable. That is halachically debatable. Yeah, that's right. It's exactly. It's slippery slope. It's halachically debatable. Halachically debatable. So these are all the various issues. Can they say they're all these kolkoris, like they Rav Kook? One of the big things is Rav Kook. Rav Kook issued a kolkori, you're not allowed to go. But his grandson and many other people that are very close with
they
him
couldn't
and
go. They couldn't go.
They say it's not true. It's not true. Exactly right. So
Hebron, they didn't let him go off.
Everything relating to this is gray matter. Is gray matter. Many people that don't go, we will admit to you straight out, it's not halacha. It's not halacha. It's not even sakana. It's Mor Mikdash. Mor Mikdash. Listen, just don't go there. Not because of little halacha, or because they side with the tzadok. Again, Americans, it's not for Americans, like you said, to get involved in this, because if you don't live the culture, if you have not sacrificed for the land, you really don't have a business talking about going on the Har Habayis. When you live in Eretz Yisrael and you participate in the Mesiras Nefesh, it's a different story. But if you're from far and just go as a tourist, it's not to go take sides on this matter. To be continued, okay.